I'm going to be honest, the gospel that we just heard proclaimed kind of creates some confusion on what we are celebrating today. The last several days leading up to this solemnity, I've received several times questions about if we're celebrating the Immaculate Conception today, why don't we as a church celebrate it 9 months from Christmas? It's an important question, and I heard some giggling, so I think some people recognize right away why this question is important, because today we are celebrating the Immaculate Conception of Mary herself. The church does celebrate the conception of Jesus Christ, the Annunciation that we heard proclaimed in the gospel, and that the Annunciation is celebrated March 25th, 9 months before Christmas. Today, what we are celebrating is not a virgin birth, but we are celebrating an immaculate conception. Immaculate coming from the root, maculate, stain, so immaculate meaning without stain. That Mary, who is chosen above all creation to bear the Son of God, to bear our God, our Savior, that as she is chosen for this particular task, she is prepared for it. She is prepared without stain, so that our God may enter into the world in a vessel that is without original sin, without stain. And so that's what we celebrate today. And I say that as if that clears everything up and makes it perfectly understandable. And yet, what we celebrate today is this massive reality within what we believe about our God and Jesus Christ, and therefore what follows about our understanding of Mary, the woman chosen to be his mother. I think there's something very important to recognize within that pattern, that movement, that what we believe and what we say about Mary as immaculately conceived actually reveals what we believe about who Jesus Christ was, God and Savior. This feast, although focused on Mary, is for the glory of Jesus Christ. For her son was also her Savior. Now, right away, we should be thinking, how is this possible? How can the work of the cross, salvation, be present to Mary prior to the fact? Our opening prayer actually spoke to this. I think sometimes in our opening prayers, we fall asleep and we zone out. So I'm going to pray it again. I'm going to read it again for all of us to hear it. Because the church has put together such a beautiful collect, such a beautiful summation of what we celebrate today. O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son, grant, we pray, that as you preserved her from every stain by virtue of the death of your Son, which you foresaw, so through her intercession, we too may be cleansed and admitted to your presence. So the death of her Son is also what saves her? How is this possible? How can Christ, who is not even born yet, save his mother? So I'm going to have a little demonstration. This explanation has been used for centuries within the church. And I just told Father Joseph right before the gospel that he was going to help me. And he said, yes, a beautiful yes that reflects the yes of our Blessed Mother. So Father Joseph is going to be Jesus in this scenario. And within the image that is created, this example, we have a pit of mud. And let's say that I'm walking along and I fall into this pit of mud. I'm stuck in here, I'm covered with mud, and Father Joseph comes and he saves me from this pit. He helps me out. Thank you. Saved. He is, in that situation, my Savior, pulling me out of this pit, saving me. Now, let's say I'm walking along and Father Joseph anticipates that I would fall in, and instead he stops me from falling in the pit. Oh. He saved me, my Savior. Thank you. Wonderful, Father Joseph. In both of these situations, Jesus Christ is the Savior. With Mary, what we see is this anticipation. As that opening collect said, as you foresaw, as God foresaw what would happen, that saving act of the cross, by that same act, the Blessed Mother is able to be saved. And so her immaculate conception is actually a glorification of Jesus Christ. All Marian feasts, every time we celebrate Mary, it is to the glory of her Son. It's what she would have wanted. It's what her heart desires, as it is perfectly seeking a yes, an openness to her Son. I think it's beautiful that this solemnity is placed within our Advent celebration, a period of a season where we are preparing our hearts to receive Jesus Christ, where we're looking at the places where our heart is too full of other things, and we're trying to make space. We're preparing, not just for the celebration of Christmas, but the reality that Christ will come again, the reality that Christ comes every day if we allow him space in our heart. So it's a beautiful moment for us within this solemnity to enter more fully into Advent, this period of preparation. Last week at E3, one of the student events, the worship events, where there's a talk given, Maddie Washington talked about Mary. And I'm gonna pull a little bit from some things she said, because she was speaking about one of the attributes of the Blessed Mother that we as a church look to as something good, a model, a piece of her that we want to also have. She pointed to her emptiness. And that's striking. Emptiness. The emptiness of Mary is something good. Should be odd to us, because a lot of times emptiness, we hate that. Emptiness means that we're left wanting, that we're not fulfilled. The feeling of being empty is actually something I think as human beings we often reject. But Maddie shared, she said, yeah, there are those first definitions, what we automatically think of. But she said, if you look up in the dictionary, the third definition for emptiness is hungry. Hunger. And Maddie said, I love this when I think of Mary's heart. That she was so empty that she desired fully her Son. She desired fully God's will. She desired fully relationship with the one whose image she was made. And then Maddie goes on, as if that wasn't enough of a sting, she goes on to add to it. She said that she heard a quote one time that said, if you're not hungry for Christ, then you're probably too full of yourself. And Maddie let that quote sit, and then she goes, I'm gonna change it, actually. Maddie says, what I'm telling you guys is if you're not hungry for Christ, you are too full of yourself. At that point, I was in the back, and I was like, oh, ouch. Because I just before, the day before, I had waited 45 minutes in line for Cane's, for the chicken fingers, because it was worth it. It was the third time I've done that, actually, since they opened. Because I will argue anyone that it's worth it to stay in line for 40-plus minutes for their chicken fingers. That's how much I desired them. I was hungry for them. And why Maddie's quote has stung so bad, because I thought, am I hungry enough for Jesus that I spent 40 minutes that day with him? I hadn't that particular day. And so that quote, if you're not hungry for Christ, it's because you're too full of yourself. It really stung. But what a great quote for us to hear in the Advent season, where we are preparing our hearts, opening our hearts, making a space for our Savior to be more a part of our life. And so I think as we celebrate the Immaculate Conception today, as we look to Mary as a model, as an example, I think for us in a very practical way to think about How can I start thinking outside of myself? How can I start desiring the good of others above myself so that my heart isn't full of myself, but it can be fulfilled with desiring the good of others? It can be filled with love. It can be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ. What better way can we enter into this celebration and into the Advent season than to seek charity? And the invitation is that we do it very practically. Before we walk out of these doors tonight, let's decide. What's an act of charity that I'm going to do? What's something I'm going to do in these 2 weeks remaining of Advent to create more space, to create more emptiness, to create more hunger in my heart?